Welcome to ACN.
February 17th, 2013. Is this better? Am I consistent now? Can you hear me better? You're fine. Okay, great. And I was just thinking, you know, when I was a kid, 2013 didn't even seem plausible. Like, I never did the numbers or anything, but 2013, you know, but we're here, and it's the year is moving fast. So if you don't blink too quick, we'll be in 2014. So whatever it is that you are looking at doing for 2013, get a move on, because the year is moving fast. It's already almost March. So anyway, welcome. You're listening to Professional Style. And if you want to call in and be a part of the program tonight, the number is 909-265-9189. We have an incredible guest on this evening, and so many people have been talking about health, weight loss, getting themselves ready for the rest of their lives, if you will, not being able to get their weight where they need it to be, get their blood pressure where they want it to be, get their blood sugar levels where they need it to be. So many people are struggling right now with being overweight and not able to control it, and yo-yo dieting, and on and on and on and on, so many different things. And it's not just women, you know. It's not just women. I was talking to a few people the other day, men and women alike, and both are talking about hypertension, pre-diabetes, and just, I don't know. It's really something that is impacting our community. And I have a little bit of a theory about this. And Jerome, I know you do too. And I really feel like one of the things that the enemy uses to distract us is weight. You know, because for example, many of the people that I spoke to were Christians working in the church, ministers, evangelists, you name it, pastors, and they also are struggling with their weight. And it's almost like, not many other things can be used to distract you or to throw you off your game, but food, you know, so not being able to sit down, cook, take your time, pay attention to what you're purchasing for food, eating on the run, being busy, community activists, you know, just on and on, all these different things. Everybody's so busy. And our world today is moving at lightning fast speed. And so we tend to eat on the run and eating at lightning fast speeds and really just not giving our bodies the rest that it needs. and the proper food that we need. And also, as you know, you think about just growing food, for example, just growing food, the farms and so forth, they want the food to grow at lightning fast speed. So things are being added to the food, preservatives are added to the food, hormones are added to the food to make it grow faster. So you go in the supermarket and you see an orange the size of your head, you know, a grapefruit the size of both of your feet. You know, it's just really something to behold. So, in other words, many times your vegetables don't have all the nutrients that they did when we were younger. And listen, we will be talking to a research scientist tonight who is an expert in the area of health, wellness, nutrition, fitness, and she is going to be enlightening us on all of these things. And that person is Dr. Nina Sherry, and she'll be on with us shortly. So I just want to say hi to my co-host, Ronnie. Hey, Ronnie.
Hi.
And also to our producer, Jerome. And we, again, are 909-265-9189. You can join us either on the phone or you can listen in online. Whatever you do, if you have some questions for us, be sure to toss them in. And I'll open up the chat room in just a second. But we're going to take our first break. And we come back, we will have with us Dr. Nina Sherry. I think she's on the line. And I'm looking forward, so forward, to hearing more about her phenomenal new book called Leaving Your Fat Behind. And do I love the title of that book, Leaving Your Fat Behind. So we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we will be opening up the line to speak with our special guest for the evening. All right. Talk to you in just a minute. This is Kathleen Williams. You're listening to Professional Style. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome to Esprinet News 90-Second News Break. This is Black History Month. The number of Americans filing new claims for jobless benefits fell last week, trending near a five-year low, a sign that the grinding recovery in the labor market remains on track. Last month's job gains are consistent with the rebounding in home construction. The U.S. Postal Service announced that it will stop delivering first-class mail on Saturdays. Beginning in August, in a bid to save about $2 billion a year, parcels will still be delivered. The problem behind the financial difficulties is a mandatory cost for future retirement benefits. The Postal Accountability Act of 2008, under George Bush, made it mandatory that 75 years of pension plan be funded within 10 years. Queen Latifah's successful production company, Flavor Unit, which has produced hits like Bringing Down the House, is teaming up with Netflix for a lucrative multi-year deal. Netflix will have first-look access to content and will be able to stream movies on their services. House of Bodies, starring Terrence Howard, and Percentage, starring Vin Rains, will be out this spring. NBC plans to reboot the series Ironside with veteran actor Blair Underwood. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News on ACN.
Protein Effect, new Special K protein cereal. With 10 grams of protein and 3 grams of fiber, finally a protein cereal to help keep you fuller longer. Willpower, what will you gain when you lose?
Seems like you guys got a little gas.
Enough
out.
Already. Come on, guys. Next question.
What's your favorite color?
What's my favorite color?
Yes.
Purple.
What's your favorite animal?
Sea turtle.
What's your bedtime? Do you believe in space aliens?
I love puppies.
Hash browns or home fries?
Home fries.
Do you like my dress?
Why can't you guys ask good questions like this?
For a chance to interview an NFL player, join Visa NFL Fan Offers and make your season epic.
Red Lobster's hitting the streets to tell real people about our new 15 under 15 menu.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. This looks amazing.
That's a good deal. Wow.
It's so good.
Our new mainstays. 15 entrees under $15. Seafood, chicken, and more.
Oh, the tilapia with roasted vegetables.
I'm actually looking at the wood grill chicken with portobello. One toss.
You're so fascinated by the prices.
I know.
You keep rambling on.
That pork chop was great.
No more fast food Fridays. We gotta go. We're gonna go to Red Lobster.
Yeah. Try our 15 under 15 menu and see food differently.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Professional Style. And Jerome, let me know if I'm I'm not unmuted. Oh, I am unmuted. Jerome, let me know if I'm breaking up, at all. But welcome back.
You're fine.
Okay. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Professional Style. And I'm back here with my co-host, Ronnie.
Good evening, everyone.
And our producer, Jerome, who is working the boards for us this evening and doing an incredible job already. And we are here with our guest, and I just want to thank Dr. Nina Cherry for being here with us this evening. Dr. Nina, thank you so much, and welcome to Professional Style.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Great to have you on, and in, you know, all this conversation about health is exactly what we all need as we start heading into the third month of the year. So first, before we go any further, I just want to, you know, all the work that do in health and wellness and fitness and all of your background. Just tell us a little bit about what you do and, you know, how you got into the research science of nutrition and wellness and everything else.
Okay, I'm going to make a very long story short. I was an obese adolescent. I battled obesity for a good 3 years. I was approaching 200 pounds, pretty much 200 pounds, and I come from the typical family that you hear about. I mean, I hate to say the stereotypical family that you hear about, long line of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, premature death, and my mother was actually going through her stage of being pre-diabetic and eventually what ultimately became diabetes. And during this time, I was becoming obese along with her. So there was a point in time where my mother kind of looked at me and said, okay, this is too much. I always tell the story, but I was on the way to church, and I had on a suit, and I put the suit on, and the button popped off and hit my father in the head because of my belly. And my mother was
Oh.
about this. And so she pretty much at the stage, she said, we're going to cook better. We're going to throw all this junk food out the house. I mean, we were out of control. We were just eating out all the time, a lot of fast food. And she threw the fast food out the house. She bought me a bike. And she's pretty much like, you got to go. I actually always say that I lost the first 20 pounds protesting the healthy food. It was like, I'm not eating at all. And then eventually I started to ride the bike. I rode the bike a whole lot. And I lost 55 pounds actually during the course of a little over a summer. So it was actually
wow.
fast. I contribute that to you.
Right,
definitely. But it came off pretty fast. And ultimately, my mother was working out at a small gym. She started taking me with her on guest passes. I saw some girls teaching aerobics, and I said, I could teach that. I could do that. And I was 15 at the time. She's actually sneaking me in the club. And eventually I said, well, can I teach some of these classes? And it ultimately turned into a job. They trained me a little bit. By 16, I was teaching aerobics classes. And it's weird because I didn't really think about taking up the field. And by the time I got to college, I was actually a math major. And I hated that. And so eventually I had a very good guidance counselor who said, you know, what do you like to do? I said, oh, I teach classes. I've done some personal training. I worked at a gym, and I'm just talking along. And she said, you ever heard of kinesiology? And I said, what is that? I'm actually a first generation. I'm a first, actually the first one to go to college in my entire family. So it was definitely something that I never heard of. I just kind of went on what looked cool. And eventually I found out that the study of human movement was a science. Uh-huh. And it's a science that I picked up for my bachelor's. I continued at another level of movement sciences for my master's. And I decided to get really heavy in the field because I was more interested in actually just learning more about what exercise can do to you physiologically. So that's every system in the body. I wanted to know about everything I could know about exercise in the way of how it affects the human body. So I decided that research was definitely a better route. I trained for years, 15 plus years of training. I've done everything you could possibly do in health and fitness, teaching, training, consulting, everything, working with these populations in cardiac rehab, physical therapy settings, I'm a clinical massage therapist, everything you can do with the body. But
wow.
I really wanted to know what exactly is going on here with exercise. What is
right.
going on at the level of the cell, the artery, everything that I can find out. And that's why I decided to go into research. And in my spare time, I love to help people. I'm just the ultimate lifestyle medicine advocate. And that is what you'll find me doing on social media, book-wise, and everything else I do. I am just trying to spread a gospel of health and fitness and getting people moving more and eating better to achieve an enhanced quality of life because I love what exercise and nutrition did for me, and it's something that I've never let go.
It's an incredible story, and, like, it's just perfect that you were able to find what interested you and bring it to this level.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
So when you and I were talking the other day, and I was
mm-hmm.
sharing that, you know, I am someone, you know, at the time that I was, Ronnie, when I was young, did we call it obesity? We didn't call it obesity when I was
They called it chubby, right?
They called it sick. They called it chubby, you know. Well,
uh-huh.
you know, I always.
It was really, she's a little bit chubby, baby fat.
But it was, you know, it was some bad habits or
grow out of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Parents fed kids, and they wanted children to eat.
Yeah,
they didn't want you to waste food.
Right.
You know, when we were growing up, it was a big deal if you threw your food away. So they
absolutely.
Wanted you. Food on your plate.
The kids in Biafra, right? That was Biafra. The kids in Biafra would love to have this food, so you eat every bit
of
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but
Africa, China.
Yeah. In their defense, though,
yeah.
we were active.
Yes.
So most of the children that may have been a little bit overweight weren't obese. They
yeah.
were chubby.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we went out, rode our bikes, we ran all day, we played ball. We jumped rope. There was a lot of activity, so they weren't
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Number one boy in my class that was I would consider morbidly obese at the time.
Uh-huh.
One boy, but he was so
yeah.
good. Nobody bothered him about it because he was
he was so smart.
He was a genius. But other than that, everybody else was medium. A little bit definitely chubby, and then pretty much fit.
Right, right.
Well, I always talk about even the to drive that point home. Even at the point that I became obese, I grew up in the Englewood community in Chicago, and we hear about the Englewood community in Chicago all over the nation, and that's where I grew up. And
I actually, the point at which I became obese was the point at which the crime rates increased in the 80s, because
she's absolutely right.
There was a lot of activity. I mean, yes, we ate like crap. I mean, we did not eat well at all, but there was a lot of activity, and we were creative because we didn't have any money. And so there was a lot of things going on, activities between jumping rope and go-karts and running and grasshoppers. But really, there was almost like a lockdown, kind of like we were in the house in the 80s because crime rates picked up so much. And that was about the time that I began to approach obesity.
Right, right. I remember when the crime increased, that's when we stopped going out.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, and now kids don't go out to play like that anymore, you know.
At all, yes.
Yeah, for whatever reasons. But I do know that, I do sometimes wonder, and this is actually one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Dr. Nina, was because I wonder from that history from when I was a child, when I was a little chubby, if that had anything to do with my yo-yo, you know, dieting as I got older. I wasn't, you know, I kind of have gone up and down, but the I did shake it when everybody said, okay, you'll shake it when you get older. I did shake it, and then I kind of started to creep up as I got older and then began the yo-yo.
We weren't waiting.
I actually touched on that in my book. I don't know if you recall when I described the vicious cycle of obesity. The sad thing about childhood obesity and obesity in general, but especially childhood obesity, is that a lot of people don't realize that your body is very adaptable, and we have a body that likes to keep us happy. So if we grow, our bodies grow with us. It makes adaptations and changes that accommodate that growth. Now, the problem is at the moment that you become overweight, not obese, overweight, you have fat cells that actually begin to stretch, and almost like Pac-Man body. And what these fat cells do is they absorb any fat that comes into the body. And so they just get fatter and fatter. Now, some people are born with more of these fat cells than others, which is why some people are a little more predisposed to being overweight. However, these fat cells, in addition to already being predisposed to being overweight, if you continue to eat, these fat cells grow and they stretch. And then now you're in a situation where even if you lose weight, you still have these overstretched fat cells that are just sitting here waiting to be refilled, like little Pac-Man bodies. So let's say that you lose that weight. When you get older and you start to, you know, eat, you may overeat, you may eat due to stress, you may eat through, it may be emotional eating, life, and you begin to eat, you have these fat cells that are overstretched and ready to be refilled. And that is why it seems like you just gain that weight fast, because that's actually what happens. And this is why there's no such thing as just losing weight for, you know, a one-off weight loss. This is something that you have to continue to do for the rest of your life, especially if you were ever overweight or obese, because you have to remember that you have these little Pac-Man bodies that are just waiting to eat and grow again. So that's exactly what initiates it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Nina, can you get rid of them? Can you shoot them? Can you bless them? can you kill them?
Well,
do you know so?
These fat cells are actually obviously in fat tissue, so adipose tissue cells are actually in fat tissue, which is one of the reasons why, and I am not advocating this at all, you know, in the situation of just, you know, I should say moderate overweight or moderate obesity, but this is one of the reasons why people experience success with certain types of surgery or fat removal, because you're ultimately getting rid of whole fat cells. But again, everyone has fat. Fat, to a certain extent, you know, we need some of it. It's not an unhealthy thing until it becomes excessive. Now, one of the problems is we're not talking about that little vanity subcutaneous fat mainly either. So, yes, you have those tissue cells, those cells in there, but we're also talking about that visceral fat that's located behind the muscle. So you have a layer of visceral fat behind muscle. You have your muscle. We're talking in the in the abdominal region, so belly fat. You have that layer of visceral fat, which
to the best way that I can describe this simply is the fat is a lie. It is a lie. It does things that fight you, especially if you were overweight or obese before. That's the part of your body that is adapting. It's saying, no, I want to stay fat because this is comfortable. So it's going to do everything that it can possibly do to keep you that size. Now, here's the deal. Even if you get the fat removed, even if you get some sort of bariatric surgery, the fact of the matter is your body, the kind of phenotype, so to speak, it's like the way your body is set up, your body
yeah.
has a memory of what it is. So even if you get every type of surgery or, you know, intervention possible and you get rid of that fat, if your mind is not there, you'll gain it back. And it will and the problem will continue to come. That's the yo-yo dieting cycle. The yo-yo dieting cycle is not I just like to eat and or I'm just, you know, in a messed up situation where these Pac-Man bodies are taking over. That's not it exclusively, but it's a mindset. It is a mindset. When you yo-yo diet, you want something fast, and you'll do something extreme to get there. And then this is an extreme personality. Okay, so now I want this back. I got it. I'm going to go back to normal. It's back. Okay, forget it. I got to get rid of it again. It's gone. Okay, well, you know what? For whatever reason, you're stressed again, whatever, you're eating again. So you have to address it from a mental standpoint, and that's the only thing that breaks the cycle. And another thing that breaks the cycle, the most important thing, is just lifestyle healthy habits, which sounds really simple, but obviously it's not because one out of three people here
yep.
are overweight or obese.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a vicious cycle.
And I really want to talk about that lifestyle because as we get busier and busier and busier and, you know, as jobs cut back and people are doing the work of three and four and five people in their jobs and so forth and raising families and so forth, folks are really, you know, they call it fast food for a reason. And with everybody moving as quickly as they can, you know, the less time spent at dinner and so forth. So I really want to talk to you about that, but we're going to take a really quick break and return back, and there's some people on the line. If you have a question for Dr. Nina, please call press 1, and you can join the conversation. Or if you're listening on your computer and you want to talk to us live, dial 909-265-9189, and you can talk with us, join the conversation, or ask a question if you are interested in something to help you in your lifestyle changes, which we'll be talking about when we get back. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm Kathleen Williams, your host, and you are listening to Professional Style. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome to Esprinet News, Spotlight in Black History. Contrary to popular belief, one black family did sail on the Titanic. Haitian native Joseph Philippe Le Mercier LaRoche came from a rich and powerful family. His uncle was the president of Haiti. Joseph could speak two languages, and he had an engineering degree but could not find a job because of his color. He and his wife decided to take their daughters, Simone and Louise, to visit his mother. They made a second-class reservation on the Titanic at the last minute. Joseph's wife and kids did survive on the April 15, 1912 voyage when the ship hit an iceberg and began to sink. LaRoche loaded his pregnant wife, Juliet, and two daughters into Lifeboat 14 just before the ship sank at 2:20 a.m. Joseph and 1,500 other passengers would go down with the ship. Now in 1918, 6 years after the death of her husband, the White Star Line awarded LaRoche $22,119. In 1980, Juliet LaRoche died at age 91. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprit Net News. This is our Spotlight in Black History. on ACN.
Coming January 1st, T-Boz had fame and fortune, but life stopped her in her tracks.
She had to learn how to walk again, talk again.
She's reinvented herself before.
If we lose this opportunity, it's never coming around again.
But this time, it's going to take more than TLC.
I'm going to make sure she gets back out there.
I forgot who I am.
Totally T-Boz premieres Tuesday, January 1st at 8, followed by the premiere of The Sisterhood at 9, part of TLC's all-new New Year.
All right, family photo.
Charlie, stop punching your brother.
He asked me to.
Dude, stop texting and look at your dad.
I can do something either way.
Okay, well, just look at your dad so you can get the shot.
Me okay, a ninja. Okay. Got it.
What?
Okay, wait.
Yeah, I got it. Come here.
Nobody move, especially you, Charlie.
Let's go.
How'd you do that?
Automagically.
Let's see. Combine pictures with Best Face on the new Samsung Note 2, available at all major carriers.
So has anybody actually started saving for college yet?
No, oh, not me.
No, you got time.
We actually started.
You have?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We figure you start saving a little now, or you'll borrow a lot later on.
Yeah, but how did you even know where to start?
Oh, I found out about the Gerber Life College Plan.
Call now for free information on the Gerber Life College Plan. It's easy.
No matter what happens, we get guaranteed safe growth.
So when she's ready for college, the money will be there.
And it doesn't take a lot of money to get started.
For as little as $10 a week, you can start saving for college and get guaranteed growth. Just call now.
Toyota Prius. Those who get it, get it.
What if you have potatoes, but you've got a meat and potatoes guy? Pour chunky sirloin burger soup over those mashed potatoes, and dinner is served. 4 minutes, around $4. Campbell's Chunky. It's amazing what soup can do.
On Amazon.com, or you can go to her website, which is DrNinaSherryPhD.com, and order it. And I highly recommend you order it. You definitely want to read this book. It's got a wealth of information. But I'm going to bring her in right now, and we're going to talk a little bit more about lifestyle and how our lifestyle affects our eating habits and just, you know, our health and our wellness. So, Dr. Nina, take it away. Oh, we do have a question though. So let me just see who this is and see if we can pick real quick.
All right.
Hello, caller to 562 area code. Tell us your name and your question, please.
Hi, my name is Bridget Lewis, and I want to thank Denise from New York for actually having me to tune in. And love the information that we're getting. But my question is, does staying up late have an effect on how your body metabolizes food?
Okay, I didn't hear the beginning of your question, just the very beginning. You said something about wait. Okay,
sure. Staying up late, because I'm in entertainment, I work really late hours. So staying up late, does that have an effect on how your body will metabolize food?
You know what? That is an area that is still debated because there's a few things that happens with staying up late in general with metabolism and the overall functioning of the body. So it's back and forth of whether or not it's the cortisol, the interaction of cortisol, and just your overall metabolic rate that's playing the role. But I will say this, what we do know as far as staying up late, and it's usually that late shift, those later shifts, is that it's really the cortisol or irregular activity thereof that's causing that problem. So the cortisol actually affects the way your body processes sugar, cholesterol, triglycerides, that's the fat in the blood. And it also affects the way your blood pressure responds. It also affects the way, the accumulation of your visceral fat that I described. I don't know if you heard earlier in this show where I was describing that visceral fat. So this cortisol hormone, it usually stabilizes itself overnight when you're sleeping. And there's been a ton of research because we're trying to find better ways to make individuals who work those later shifts healthy because that twilight shift, that overnight shift is one of the ones that's linked to very high levels of cortisol. If you can think of the body as, you going to sleep at night, it gives the cortisol time to balance because this hormone is up for everything. This hormone is active when you're in traffic, when someone's making you upset. If it's something as simple as an irritation at work, this cortisol is active. So if you are having these sort of days and then you work, and you're up and you're getting a lack of sleep, that cortisol can just become out of whack and resulting in all these different problems in all of these different systems. And that is one of the things that, more so than the metabolism, it's really the effects of the cortisol on the overall metabolism. That's kind of where it stands now that affects that. One of the important things is, because it works with those rhythms, your body's sleeping patterns. But one of the problems is with the later shift, I don't know if you sleep. Some people work those hours and they sleep. They don't sleep when they're supposed to be sleeping. Like, I know, for example, you know what I'm saying?
Like I said, I'm in entertainment, so I don't get a tremendous amount. I don't get a tremendous amount of sleep. So when most people are sleeping, I'm up working.
Absolutely.
And sometimes eating, carrots, apples, nuts, cookies at times, which is not good. So I just need to know, is the sleeping and the eating pattern and all of that, is that all tied in? Because my challenge is that I'm pretty, my weight is okay. Like right now I'm on a program, but the most of my weight is centered around my belly. So I'm thinking maybe because I'm staying up late, I'm probably not eating as many meals as I should. Everything is really in the center, which is the visceral fat, which I believe you were talking about earlier, right?
Yes. Now, I will tell you this, too, and this is one myth that it's a myth that I'm going to definitely throw out there because I get so irritated when people talk about, eating at a certain time of day, eating late, blah, 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 because these are all myths that were established just over time. It really doesn't matter how many meals you eat, when you eat the meals. It really doesn't matter. That does not matter. What matters is the quality of your nutrition and that you're meeting without overshooting your daily calorie requirement. So it's not so much what you're eating. In your case, I really think it's that lack of sleep because that cortisol hormone, again, will become wacky, for lack of a better word, when you're not sleeping. And that's one of the things I honestly, in that case, that's the remedy I don't have because you have to sleep. And then, it's been shown already that less than 6 hours of sleep can lead to that. And the fact that you're accumulating visceral fat as a scientist, that's all I needed to hear.
Right. And Dr. Nina, that is a perfect segue. Well, first of all, Bridget, thank you so much for calling in. And what a great question, because that's a question that I have a lot, too, because I have had really, really, really late hours. So, even people who are not in entertainment, various, nurses, medical professionals, you name it, folks that are up at night, either that late shift or just, workaholics who, are up late. That's an important thing and a question. I'm glad you said that the research isn't out, but explain that. But that takes us right into the conversation about lifestyle. So if you could talk a little bit about how our lifestyles and how they've changed over the years and how that is affecting us as a society, both our children and parents and so forth, just how now?
From the state, this is so multifaceted, but I will say this. I think the problem with us in general is, I'll tell you one for women. Women are working way more than we ever worked. And so some of the same problems that have historically affected men, i.e. visceral fat, we're starting to get that a little bit more. And, again, it is due to those long hours and more stressful situations. We're not home cooking meals anymore because a lot of times the major complaint is a lack of time. A lack of time for exercise, a lack of time to cook, a lack of time for many single parents. You're a single parent. That is stressful. I know a lot of times I jokingly tell my husband, you're stuck with me because I need you, or I just need you sometimes. Sometimes you need that. And it definitely adds another layer of, you know, time. You know, there's something else that you have to commit to. So what I have to say to that at the same time is one of the problems today is we're so all or nothing. Mm. So I can't eat salads. I can't cook healthy, so I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't have time to go to a gym. I don't have a gym membership, so I just don't. That's a cop-out, and I'm not saying that in a mean way. It's always, there are many ways that you can sneak it into your lifestyle if you want to sneak it into your lifestyle. I say it oftentimes, I'm listening. First, actually really funny, before I chopped my hair off, I used to listen to the women in the beauty shop complain about time, and we were there for 6 hours. And I was like, you don't have time, and we've been sitting here for 6 hours talking about time. But you're here because you want to get that hair done. You're here.
Right.
You're there because you want to get your hair done. So if it's something that you want, you'll make the time. And I also jokingly put a post on my Facebook page last week. I heard many people always, mean, I just don't have the time. Help me work out. Dr. Nina, I don't have the time. Help me work out. But I watch play-by-plays of the show Scandal on Thursday. That's an hour. That's an hour that you have. So I'm going to tell you this. When it comes to improving your nutrition, and if there's a lack of time, make simple changes first. Substitute a bag of chips or cookies for a healthy snack, popcorn, baby carrots, celery, chopped apples. They come in bags now to address that lack of time. You don't even have to cut them anymore. Now they come in bags. That's
right.
One. You know, gradually wean yourself off of high-calorie beverages. I want to tell you another problem. These iced coffee, sweetened sugar drinks, I mean, this is the stuff that's another thing that's contributing to this problem. This is breakfast for people now, you know, fruit smoothies. Some of the things even that people deem healthy, like I've heard from people, I have a fruit smoothie every morning. I put strawberries and pineapples and, you know, I put my bananas in it. And it's so much sugar that it's not even healthy anymore. It's something that's out of whack in an attempt to be healthy. So these are little simple things you can do. And what I try to do is provide practical little subtle things that you can do, subtle changes that you can make. Every little bit really does count. Just separating, you know, just eliminating the chips or the cookies can make 200 calories is a lot of calories to eliminate for a healthy snack. These are things that can result in change. I even recommend, like, there are a lot of quick, healthy cookbooks out here. You know, get those and try different things. You know, make chilies, make stews. Cook. One of my things is I cook on Sunday a lot, and I'll make Sunday the cooking day sometimes for the rest of the week and invest in some Tupperware containers. That way you can measure your food and you can make sure that the food is there for you to eat. Because another thing, you know, convenience food is okay every once in a while. It happens. But after a while, I mean, even the sheer nature of it being convenient food is going to present you with, maybe I shouldn't be eating this all the time. There's extra sodium. There's extra things that, although the calorie content is okay, it's full of salt. So those are just some of the things there. And exercise. That's pretty cut and dry, because the exercise component of being healthy does not have to be exercise per se. You can take a 10-minute walk before work. Make it a jog before work. Take a 10-minute walk during work. Take a 10-minute run, jog after work. That's it. Take the stairs. Eliminate the elevator. That's it. These are this is stuff that is doable. This stuff is doable. You know what I mean?
I do. And you know what I'm going to do? And I just want to be the person who's listening who says, okay, well, I would take the stairs, but I'm so heavy now that my knees hurt and I can't even get up and down those stairs. Because that's one of the things. You know, some of the women that I talk to, they're like, oh, my goodness, I gained so much weight now. My back hurts. My knees hurt. You know, trying to get up and down the subway stairs, they have to take the elevator. And I'm going to tell you, as I picked up weight, I found myself, oh, my gosh, I got to take the elevator. This is awful. And then you want to do more, move more.
Yes.
Your body is saying, oh, no. Just sit down.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have an answer for that.
I thought you
know
would.
What?
Well, I brought it up.
Okay. You're absolutely right. One, I would say this, and I would say this for sure. I must say this. We walk. We walk, right?
Yes.
Unless
we walk.
If you have functioning limbs, you walk. You just
yes.
walk. Because what happens is, I'm going to tell you something else. If you actually make an effort to become physically active and exercise, it's not a comfortable process initially. It's not. And it's not comfortable even for people who aren't healthy. You know, sometimes the mere act of a bead of sweat coming down is not comfortable. So I always say, you know, if someone tells me that, I say, is it sharp? Is it stingy? Does it sting like fire? Okay, well, you can do it then, because that tells me it's not a nervous issue.
Okay.
It is stabbing any of that, you know. And another thing is water. Water is it's one of the most under-participated in activities. And I always tell people, it's like I'll get a question very similar to what you just said, because I get that question all the time. And I get a lot in the form of emails. I'll get an email with that same exact question, almost quoted verbatim the way you just told it. And I give that water solution, and I never hear back. And I give them a whole water program, and I never hear back, because it's a solution. It's a solution, and sometimes you want to, and I have to say this, it's a little tough love. I give it sometimes. Sometimes you just have to sit back and think, you know, is it really that you can't do it, or that you kind of may not want to do it because it's a little uncomfortable. You know, even the mere act of going to the gym is uncomfortable for some people. Some people feel like they need to lose weight before they go to the gym. I mean, these are things, especially among women, these are things that are just it. But like I say, if you have functioning limbs, there is no reason why you can't take a leisure walk and then eventually put some pep in your step. And another thing that helps is one of the most underperformed activities among women is resistance training. And these are things that don't necessarily have to be weight-bearing. You have machines, you have dumbbell options, you have tubing options, and you have your own body weight. And one of the reasons why a lot of people experience such pain when they're trying to exercise is because their muscles are weak and atrophy, meaning they're losing their tone and strength. And if you're not performing any type of resistance training, this is an absolute must, yet never emphasized. If you're not performing any type of resistance training, every single activity that you do during the day is painful. And I'm not talking about just everything. Hurts because as we age, especially, and we begin to naturally lose our muscle tone and the muscles naturally atrophy with age, as you age, everything becomes increasingly more painful. Now, you couple that with obesity, then of course you're not going to walk because your muscles are what the muscles, not only do they fuel activity in general, meaning muscle, the more muscle you have, the higher your metabolic rate, which means that you're going to burn calories more efficiently. Not only does muscle have that power, but the muscle is controlling the whole system of joint movement. So imagine, my muscles are atrophy. You actually think you're going to be able to move comfortably? No. So these are things that you have to think about. And that's another thing I give these really easy how-to resistance training programs, things that you can do at home that take no more than 10 minutes. I actually have a program called Tone Up in 10 Minutes, and it's no lie. It's no lie.
Wow.
10 minutes every day. 10 minutes every day. I have my sister on this program, and she, for the first 2 weeks she did the program, she called me every time she finished and cursed me out. She says, it's working. I know it's working, but this is terrible, Nina. This is terrible, Nina, but I'm doing my next program tomorrow. And then she calls me the next day. This is terrible, Nina. This is terrible, Nina, but I slept so good last night. You know, the third day. Nina, awful. I did arms today. Oh, my God. But, oh, goodness, my dinner tastes so much better, and I just felt good. You know, and it just happens like that. And it's easy, and it's practice. And you don't need a gym to do it.
And how do people get in touch with you to start their 10-minute program every day?
You get in touch with NinaSharifePhD.com, and there is a program on there called Tone Up in 10 Minutes at Home. And I just give it to you.
Love it.
I just give it to you. That's what I do.
That is awesome.
No excuses.
We have a few minutes left, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about your book and the, you know, of course, I don't really have to ask you what it prompted you to write this book, but I love the title, first of all, Leaving Your Fat Behind. And so, so it just came out, right? It just released, was it early? Yeah.
Yes, it was January 17th on my birthday. That was my birthday present to myself and to you.
Oh, yes, yes, and happy birthday to you, and thank you so much for that awesome book. So tell us a little bit about the book and let everybody know again how they can get a copy of it.
Well, the book is definitely it's Leaving Your Fat Behind, and what it is not is another weight loss or dieting book. That is exactly what it is not. What I do is I describe the process of obesity and weight loss and just weight gain, how it occurs in general. I describe it from beginning to end, and I basically address different lifestyle strategies, nutrition, practical tips that you can actually implement in the way of nutrition, physical activity, and exercise to actually fight this thing. So we have obesity that is linked to all of the chronic diseases that you mentioned earlier in the show. It's linked to all of them.
Yeah.
And I basically address how you can implement exercise and nutrition, not only in the fight against obesity, but in the fight against obesity-related diseases. And you do not have to be overweight or obese to gain incredibly valuable information from it, mainly because although a lot of these diseases are linked to obesity, you do not have to be obese to get them. And you can die of a heart attack and a stroke as in normal weight individuals, just as an obese individual can. So what I do is use this book as a lifestyle approach, a handbook, if you will, for life, for how you can implement physical activity, exercise, nutrition into your life. I tell you step by step the process of, you know, choosing food. I tell you just different ways from buying, purchasing Tupperware containers to how you can actually count calories and make these things easier to count, make it less stressful, make it, you know, less of a job. Because that's something that a lot of people just, again, do not have the time to do. When it comes to exercise, I not only talk about exercise programs, but I also talk about how you can implement spontaneous types of physical activity into your lifestyle. This is like one of the most common misconceptions that I always address because spontaneous physical activity is that spontaneous walking. And one of the things I always liken it to is think about the person who is parking to go to fighting for a parking spot close to the door of the gym. That doesn't make any sense.
I do that.
Little stuff like right. Exactly. I mean, and most people do. I pride myself on parking. You know, every parking lot has, like, that second level. It's like you have the front, and then there's a street, and then there's another set of parking spots behind them. That's what a lot of malls do. I actually pride myself on just parking there. One, you don't even get stuck in the fight. You don't get that extra cortisol that day from fighting with someone who, you know, went into the spot that you wanted. You don't get that, and you get some physical activity on top of it. And that's the stuff that counts, and I address that. And when it comes to resistance training, which is, again, one of the most undone types of activity, I go through that one step by step, telling you reps, set exercises, how you should choose them, why you should choose them. And basically it's a handbook. It's a how-to handbook, and I would like it for something that, you know, you can reference for the rest of your life. That was the goal.
And it's a phenomenal handbook, too. And Dr. Nina, I have some shout-outs for you. The infamous and incredible Dr. Denise, I call her Dr. Denise Richards in the chat room, and she said to say hello to Dr. Nina, and we want to thank Denise Richardson, who is going to be a consultant on our show every week coming up, starting up in March. But we want to thank Denise.
Oh,
for,
nice.
Yes, for connecting
and
you.
And Miss Denise is in the book. Miss Denise is in the book.
Oh, thank you. Is awesome. So I want to thank her right now for professional self for bringing you to us. What an incredible interview this has been. And another shout out to Coffee Lady Bridget out in Los Angeles from Denise. Bridget, thank you for that great question. And I want to thank you, and so does Dr. Rich, I call her. Denise is a great question. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, I love what you were saying about the gym and making sure we're, you know, just walking and just basic stuff and water. Mm-hmm. And as you talked about water, my sister and I both raised our bottles of water and toasted because we are on water. We are on the water ticket. So we're like, yeah,
I love it.
We are on the water ticket. But so what? One other thing, though, that I wanted to mention to you is that when you mentioned about losing weight before going to the gym, that's something mm-hmm. that quite a few women have said to me. They feel embarrassed and
yes.
To the gym at the weight that they are, and they also mm-hmm. don't know what to do when they get in the gym. They're like, oh, I go in there and all these. Is it all these cute little people walking around in their cute little outfits? And is this really some place for somebody to go? Because, you know, everybody's so pretty in the gym. I don't feel like I belong in there, you know, is what they say. So
yeah.
what do you offer for them?
That's how they got that way. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sum up a quick story of after I had my son. And that was the first time I experienced weight gain again, you know, after my adolescent years. And me, who I am, oh, no, I hid from the gym. I sure did. I did not go. I said, they cannot see me like this because I'm no longer pregnant. No excuse. They don't know. I'm fortunate enough to love running. I have a love for running. So I actually spent the majority of my time running after my son. Now, I will say this. I had an extra weight, just like you described. I had a lot of excess weight after I had my son, and it was painful to run. It was very painful to run. It was painful and just in my abdominal region to run. So, you know, I did a jogging, kind of walking, jogging, and then I went to running. I have an elliptical, so I was fortunate enough to have a piece of equipment in my house that's very popular at the gym. So I used that, and to be honest with you, that's exactly what I did. I hid from the gym. Nutrition is a big one. It is a big one. It's equally as important when it comes to weight loss. So you have to definitely get your nutrition intact. There are so many databases that allow you to track your calories because I'm going to tell you this. If you don't have some way of controlling your portion sizes and tracking them, you will not lose weight no matter how much exercise you're engaging in. But again, outdoor types of activities, I have a lot of programs on my site that can be performed at home. So if you don't want to go to the gym, hide. Get videos. I have programs. I have resistance training programs that only require the purchase of a simple set of dumbbells. So I understand. I sympathize. I did it myself. Hide and work out at home. And I give you the tools to do it on my website. That's if you want to do it. Otherwise, who cares?
Yes. Exactly. You don't know the folks in the gym anyway. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Who cares? Put on your scarf and go at some odd time of day. Seriously. And then group fitness is actually good because a lot of people in group fitness classes feel that way, and they'll go in there and put their coat over their head and hide and run in a group fitness class. And everybody looks like that. So what?
That's true. And last question is, you know, if you could, and it might be take a couple of minutes, but I just wanted to ask you, you know, what's your thought about some of the commercial weight loss programs like Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig, and not to bash them or not bash them, but just, you know, mm-hmm. if people are looking for something to help them, you know,
Nutrisystem,
LA Weight Loss, I think there's a bunch of them. So what is your thought
on
the various programs a lot of people run to?
And
I've tried probably the majority of them. What's your thought about those?
So all of these diet programs have something in common, and this is why I never criticize them. They all have something in common, and I just mentioned it. They all involve some sort of calorie manipulation. And what is done is they just pretty much keep you in the dark on the manipulation, because if you know the manipulation, you're not going to use the program. As a scientist,
right.
I know the manipulation for just about all of them. So you have your calories that are obtained from all the food sources. So we know that, the basic stuff, carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. But what happens is we have some dieting programs, mainly all dieting programs, result in the calorie restriction type of manipulation. So there's some sort of reduction in calories by encouraging you to consume prepackaged meals, smoothies, shakes, candy bars, and they all have a fixed amount of calories. And basically, if you eat these things that they give you in some way, you'll lose weight, and they can guarantee it because they know what to count. They've counted them for you. That's what they've done. You
right.
have the point counting system, which is the most popular because it takes away all that intimidation of those four-figure numbers, 2,000 calories, 1,800, oh, no, and they put it in points, and that's what Weight Watchers does. They take all that intimidation away, but what they don't tell you is that that simple system, that one point counts as 50 calories. And part of me, I say, why pay for them to put it in a small system? But at the same time, if that works for you, use it that way. I'm
yeah.
all about what works for you. One of the primary problems with dieting and the reason that weight regain is a dieter's dilemma is because people are not picking things that work for them in the long term. They're picking things that give them a short-term fix. I know so
right.
many people who've been on Weight Watchers for 10 years and nothing is happening. My quick answer is they all work. But just make sure that if you are starting these programs, that you have a definite start and a definite end and a maintenance plan, because it's a permanent lifestyle change. And this is the problem with most of these diets, why they fail. People are approaching them as a one-off and not as a lifestyle. Weight Watchers works for a lot of people because, you know, they say this is something that I can do forever.
Right.
Counting calories. Some people like calories instead of Weight Watchers, and they say, you know what, I can do this. But what happens if you get tired of counting points? What happens if you get tired of counting calories? Eventually, you're going to have to understand different things like portion control. And
right.
another thing, you have to understand that the exercise is the key to permanent weight management, and that's what I emphasize in my book. Dieting is for weight loss. Exercise is for long-term success, and you need both.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what happened when I went to Weight Watchers is I bought up all the little fabulous candy bars that are so delicious, and I would
I started gaining. I was gaining weight. Oh, wait.
Too much of a good thing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Dr. Nina,
it happened.
It happened. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. We're going to have to get you to come back and talk some more about the exercise and, you know, the different aspects of this, because this is such a really big deal for people right now. Folks are
It is.
You know, and, you know, the mindset part of it as well, and our producer talks to me a lot about the mindset and the thought processes around weight and weight loss, so we'd love to have that conversation. But I just want to thank you so much for being here on Professional Style tonight. What a great
pleasure.
Wonderful to talk with you. And everybody, if you haven't written it down, just please take a minute, write down Dr. Nina's website again, and tell us your website one more time.
It's ninasherieph.com. So N-I-N-A, Cherie, C-H-E-R-I-E, PhD.com. Or you can simply go to leavingyourfatbehind.com, and it gives a nice link to my website on that site as well, if that's easier for you to remember.
Which is awesome. Okay, Dr. Nina, thank you so much for being a friend to the show, Professional Style. What a great interview. Thank you. Congratulations and all the best to you with your book. Much success. I know you will have tremendous success with it, and I hope you will come back and join us again and talk with us a little bit more as we all work towards improving our health, wellness, nutrition, and fitness.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Nina Cherie, author of Leaving Your Fat Behind. She is a research scientist and an expert, as you can see, in many, many areas surrounding your health, your wellness, your fitness, and your all-around professional and lifestyle. So we thank her again for being here with us tonight. And
photo.
Charlie, stop punching your brother.
Jared,
stop texting and look at your dad.
I can get to things away.
Yeah, well, just look at your dad so you can get the shot.
Me okay, a ninja.
Okay.
Got it.
What? Okay, wait.
Yeah, I got it. Come here.
Nobody move, especially you, Charlie.
Let's go.
How'd you do that?
Automagically.
Let's see. Combine pictures with Best Face on the new Samsung Note 2. Available at all major carriers.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, steer clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Your white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your white to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your white back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder.
Hi.
It seats 7.
Hi.
Or 2. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's tri-zone entertainment system.
My movie just ended.
Ours too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Professional Style. We had an incredible guest with us tonight, Dr. Nina Cherie, author of Leaving Your Fat Behind. And I, again, want to thank her for being here. Thank you for being on the show this evening. Next week, we will be back with another incredible show. I want to wish you an incredible week. I'm saying a lot of incredibles, right? I wish you a fabulous week. And make sure you do something for yourself this week. Make sure you think about your health, too. Drink some more water. Do something that is going to improve your health, your wellness, and your fitness. And, of course, your professional style. This past week, we celebrated Ash Wednesday, so if you're giving up something for the lentil season, which ends on Easter, you know, let us know what you're giving up. I gave up really staying up late and convenient eating. So I am taking care of myself during this lentil season and getting more rest. So anyway, we will be back next week. We'll have a lot of fabulous things to talk to you about. And we're going to do a special show. I haven't even talked to the producer about this yet. We're going to do a special show on the Real Husbands of Hollywood, because we've been watching that show and splitting our sides watching that program. So we're going to do a special show just to talk about the Husbands of Hollywood. So make sure tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. you tune into the Ask Kathleen Network and listen to Black on Black Crime with the host Jerome Esprit of EspritNet News. And also Thursday nights at 11 p.m. you can catch EspritNet News on EspritNet News Radio. So look out for that on Facebook, on Twitter, and have a fabulous week. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, with my co-host, Ronnie.
Good night.
And our,
make sure you watch the show.
Make sure you watch the show. And our incredible producer, Jerome Esprit, in the background, handling the board. So thanks again, Dr. Nina. Thanks, Jerome. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.